Appreciate it, Pastor, for letting me share a little bit with you guys about this ministry that I call Plus that the Lord has laid on my heart over the course of the last 3 months or so. I know Pastor has suggested or intimated what this is all about in various services, but he's given me the opportunity this morning to speak a little bit about what it is and how it developed in my heart. Essentially, this next 30 minutes is going to be an extended testimony of what the Lord's done to lead me to this point to kick off Plus. And without providing any suspense, Plus is prayer at lunchtime for the United States. And I'll explain over the course of these few minutes what that means. If you want to turn to Esther chapter 4, I would appreciate that. And essentially, this ministry is about a burden for our nation. I think probably the folks in this room would agree that something is going wrong in our nation that's brought us to a point that has separated us from allowing God to be preeminent in the affairs of our nation and in the lives of the majority of folks in our country. And as somebody that is concerned about that and has been for a while, I want to dig down, and I have over the last few months, to the root cause of that problem. And maybe we complain about the people in our neighborhoods, or maybe we complain about spring breakers, or maybe we complain about the government. But I would say that all of those things are not the problem. They are the result of the problem, which is a nation that has drifted away from God. Not immediately, not because of some big momentous occasion that caused us 10 years ago or 20 years ago to drive away from God, but slowly and steadily. And I'll give you an example or an illustration. So I had the opportunity this week to drop a 2,000-pound laser-guided bomb for test and training. I don't have anything against Mississippi, but it hit exactly where I wanted it to hit. And how that bomb works is you point a laser from your aircraft at the target, and then the bomb sees that laser spot and goes to it. But here's the interesting thing. If you're off just 1 degree, that's a tiny amount. If I could show you the difference between where I want to point and 1 degree, you couldn't see the difference from here. And say I was trying to shoot that laser spot at JP in the back, and I was off by just 1 degree, it would probably hit off by a couple of inches from where I'm aiming. Still would hit him, right? Imperceptible. He would be gone. But say I was trying to point that laser spot 20 miles away from Crestview, just a little deviation from where I wanted to be, over the course of that 20 miles or so, I'd miss by maybe a half a mile. Well, I think that analogy reminds me of where we've gone as a nation. A small deviation from God's plan, magnified over the course of time, has led us to be far apart from where God wants us to be. Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ the same today, yesterday and today and forever. And so God hasn't changed, but our society, as a nation, we have moved away from where God wants us to be. And indeed, it is the government, and indeed, it is the spring breakers, but I would say a lot of the responsibility falls upon the shoulders of churches and Christians who have moved away from God maybe at the same pace that the rest of society has and has not been the stalwart that God would want us to be or has intended us to be. And it's been so imperceptible over the course of time that now as we look back over the last 50 years or so, we recognize that we're nowhere close to maybe where we should be or where God wants us to be. A small error magnified over time creates a large deviation. We just bought a new computer this week and set it up yesterday. We have a 5-year-old computer that is as slow as you could imagine, but we didn't realize how slow it was until compared against the new model that we actually got working yesterday. Because it got slower and slower over time, and we didn't recognize that it was far away from where it should indeed be. So let me tell you a little bit about the personal processes I've reflected upon some of those truths over the last several months that brought me to the point of wanting to launch this concept called Plus tomorrow. I have a period at the end of every calendar year of reflection in my life about my previous year's goals and how I did, and my next year's goals and setting priorities, and I set up my daily prayer list in accordance with the priorities in my life, and so it makes a big difference to me, and it's a big deal to me to make sure the priorities are right. And I'm reflecting over those 2 or 3 days that I dedicate at the end of December this last year and came to a shocking conclusion, and that conclusion was this, that I am a Christian in this country who's dedicated his last 18, almost 19 years to service to our country in the military. I have a regular prayer life, but I realized during that period of self-reflection that I had never truly on a regular basis prayed for my country. And that shocked me in that period of reflection. By the way, during that period of reflection, the Lord typically gives me a Bible verse for the year, something that maybe I don't understand at the time, but something that the Lord wants me to focus on. And this particular year, it was in Esther chapter 4, verse 14. And leading up to this point, it's the story of Mordecai and Esther, and Mordecai encouraging Esther, who was the king's wife, to go before the king on behalf of the Jews and to advocate for them. And there was a little bit of an iteration there as Esther said, I can't do that because my life would be in danger going forward to the king without him asking me to come to him. And ultimately, this is what Mordecai said in verse 13. Then Mordecai commanded to answer Esther, think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place, but thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And then this is the part that the Lord laid on my heart as my personal verse for the year. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? And so Mordecai is challenging Esther that you were placed in that position in that time for a particular reason. And in this particular case, and maybe that meant putting your own self at risk or harm's way, but it doesn't matter, you need to do what is right. And so I didn't really know at the time that the Lord gave me that verse, maybe what it meant at that moment. I did realize that I hadn't prayed for my country, and I was ashamed at that. And so I made the determination as one of my priorities and goals over the course of 2013 to regularly pray for my country. And so I started to do that in January. And as a part of my regular prayer time, I had it on my prayer list now. It was a proper priority where it should be. And I'm praying daily for my country as a part of my normal prayers, which is great. And at the end of January, I came to the point and I realized that the Lord wanted me to do maybe a little bit more and to pray at a specific time solely for my country. Meaning, don't mesh it in maybe with the rest of my prayer life, which there's nothing wrong with that, but maybe to make a specific time to pray for my nation. And so starting on February 1st and every day since then, I felt the Lord leading to step out of my office for a period in the case of me go to the chapel on base by myself and just spend a specific time, not a long time, praying for my country at lunchtime. By myself, some folks at the chapel see me come in every day and they probably wonder what's going on, but I walk back and just have a personal time with the Lord. And so I did that starting on February 1st, and as I said, every day since then. I've actually been gone on business trips and made a point wherever I am to do the same thing in a similar kind of way at lunchtime or as close to lunchtime as I could. And as February progressed, I started getting a sense that I recognized that the root cause maybe of our problems in our country was that if me as somebody that consider themselves a faithful Christian with a good prayer life and someone who loved this country wasn't praying, then maybe others were in the same boat. And everyone hears in a lot of revival type situations, 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. And so the Lord started impressing that verse upon me as well as Christians or churches in our country being the root cause, the underlying problem for where our country has gotten to. Because the promises, the contingent promises in that verse, 2 Chronicles 7:14, tells God's people to be the ones responsible for the healing of their nation through humility and through prayer and for seeking God and turning from their sin and their wicked ways. Those things are what is required for God to heal a particular land. And so if I had gotten to the point in my life where I realized that I wasn't praying for my country on a regular basis, and the Lord, of course, used that prayer time to deepen this burden for my country and for our country, that maybe others needed encouragement to get to that point in their lives as well. You know, it strikes me that it's easy to complain about where we are, and it seems so simple of a thing to make our country part of our regular prayers, but maybe that's what's needed to encourage people to do what is simple and what should be basic for a Christian to do. Sometimes the simplest thing is tough to do, but it's the thing that you should do. I'll tell a story. Back when my kids were young and we lived in California, we were about an hour and a half from Disneyland. And my kids would get up at 6:30 in the morning regularly. They would never sleep in. They still don't sleep in. And as a frustrated parent, I said, how can I bribe them to stay in bed? Just once. That's all I ask for. One weekend, stay in bed. So my wife and my bribe to our kids, I think then at the time it was just Summer and Tiffany, though this deal is still open to all three kids and they've never achieved it, is that if they stayed in bed till 10 o'clock once, quietly, they didn't have to sleep till 10, they just had to stay in the room quietly till 10, we would immediately take off that day on a Saturday and go to Disneyland. That's all they had to do. Have they ever done it? No. Have they made it to 9? I don't think so. They haven't even come close. And so it was so easy for them just once to forgo a little bit of maybe what they wanted to do and burden themselves for just a small period of time just once to get a whole day of blessings, entertainment, and fun. And so we may not be asked to pray and to do something for our Lord that Esther was asked to do, putting ourselves in harm's way. By the way, as I went through the course of this February and was burdened by this, I felt that verse maybe was speaking to my heart, but all Christians' hearts. That maybe we're just asked as Christians, we are placed in this position, in this situation in our country, at this time, for a particular reason. And that reason is probably manifold, but one of those reasons is that maybe we should be fervent about standing strong to the truths of the Word of God and praying on a regular basis for our country. And so I got to the point in the middle of February, and about this point I started thinking through how am I going to implement something like PLUS, that acronym, Prayer at Lunchtime for the United States, it had come to me at that point. And I don't know much about IT tools, and I've never built a website, and I don't know any of that stuff, but impressing upon me that maybe some sort of word of mouth to get out to folks that are in my same situation is something that's needed. And I tell you, the process was a little embarrassing to me because I came to the point of almost exasperation for my country, and it was only at that point where I decided prayer was necessary, right? Prayer as a Christian should be something that's on the tip of our tongue, that's on the top of our mind, but it got me to a point, the Lord brought me there, where I was in some level of desperation and realized that this is all I could do and this is what needed to be done. Right. And as I've thought about that, I figure it's a little bit like the point you come to in salvation where you realize that there's nothing you can do. No matter how high of rank I attain in the military, I don't think that I can make the change in our country that needs to be made. No matter how hard I work during any given day, I can't make the change. And so in some ways, I came to the point of surrender in my prayer life with regard to my country that I realized that not only is all I can do, but it's actually properly the most I can do. It's a lot to do that, and there's nothing that I can do in the 20 minutes that I now take out of every lunchtime to go pray that will better my country more than seeking God's ability to change our country so that He can bless our country. There's nothing that you can do, there's nothing I can do that can make as much of a difference as the difference that God can make. And I started researching history a little bit and came across, as I'm thinking about PLUS, the prayer meeting revival of 1857, where a man in Fulton Street in Manhattan in New York put up a very simple invitation that asked people to maybe take a portion of their lunchtime to come pray with him and the church that he was at there on Fulton Street. His name was Jeremiah Lamphere, a simple man, a businessman turned lay preacher, and he put this advertisement up maybe around town, maybe in the newspaper, I'm not quite sure. And on that first day where he advertised for others to come join him, a few people did. And then more came, and other churches in other cities had the same thing happen. And a revival, what is known as the Third Great Awakening, swept across our land in 1857. Can that happen now? I see no reason why not if God is in it. And they didn't have fancy technology to promote it. They just had a simple billboard or a sign on a window or a newspaper article that encouraged people to come and pray with them. And essentially, that model is the model that the Lord has placed on my heart. A very simple concept of making sure that others maybe know about this burden and reflect upon their lives and maybe accept that burden as one that is their own. And so about this period during this burden, I talked to Pastor and shared with him the burden. I had told my wife that a few weeks ahead of time, and she had been praying with me about it. And so I went to talk to Pastor, and he gave me some great advice and pointed me to some other places and to do some other things. And since then, I've shared it with some other pastors who are sharing it with their friends. And Pastor Humphreys mentioned to you that the official kickoff for this, the Lord placed on my heart a while ago, was now tomorrow, March 25th, 2013, where maybe at that point I would have encouraged enough folks, or at least will have officially gotten the word out that this is starting, that others would join me, not necessarily in the chapel there at Eglin Air Force Base, though maybe. I'm fairly irregular in the time I get there because my schedule isn't all that regular, but it's around 12:15-ish. But wherever they go and whatever they can do to step away from what they're doing at around lunchtime and pray regularly and fervently for our country, and maybe even let others know what they're doing so that they can be joined if that's the folks' heart to do so. By the way, the timing of God is amazing. This is a burden that I felt stronger than any burden other than my salvation burden. And it's not something that's going to cause me to go, at least at this point, into full-time ministry. But it is something that I knew that the Lord was impressing upon my heart, that this is something that I needed to do. Because if I was so lacking in this area, if I was failing in my basic Christian duties and my basic citizenship duties to pray for my country, though I work full-time for our country, then probably others are in the same boat. And so I wanted to encourage others in the same way. Fortunately, as the timing worked out, there have been other somewhat similar ministries that I knew nothing about in the general time frame of this period. In fact, last week there was a revival meeting in Washington, D.C. called Capital Connection by some independent Baptist churches that are there, that brought some pastors in for this revival meeting and then had those pastors go out and try to share the gospel to their congressmen and their senators. I didn't know anything about that when the Lord, maybe a month and a half ago, laid March 25th on my heart, and I've since talked to some of those pastors that started that particular conference, and it seems to me that there are many others that have burdens of what we can do for our country. And whether it's a new Baptist college that's going to open a year from now in Washington, D.C. to hopefully build Christians up to work in our government, to maybe seize back the government for the cause of Christ, there's things that are going on that I didn't necessarily know about, but the timing seemed so ordained from the Lord that it became obvious to me that this is something that I needed to do. If you would, turn to Psalm chapter 20, verse 7. I particularly like this verse because the Lord brought it to my attention many, many years ago. In fact, when I give out pictures of the F-22 that I used to fly, I often, when I would sign that picture, would sign this verse. And I'll tell you why, and I think maybe it will become obvious as you read through it. Psalm 20, verse 7, "Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God." And I write that for this reason. David gets it right here, of course, because it's in the scripture, that the strength of a nation that is firmly grounded and is secure doesn't come in David's time from chariots and horses, but in a trust in the Lord. I hate to admit it, but the strength of our country, the security of our country, doesn't come from an F-22. It doesn't come from an Abrams tank or an aircraft carrier. It doesn't come from economic might or diplomatic sway. It doesn't come from any of that. The reason the Lord has blessed this country is the fundamentals that brought this country into existence, which is a trust in God and a constitution that acknowledges that trust in God. And we've so deviated from that over the course of time that we almost can't even recognize where we currently are. And our strength doesn't come in chariots and horses, but it does indeed come in acknowledging the Lord's rightful preeminence in our lives. Let me share with you the vision, the mission statement, and the goals of PLUS, and maybe give you a bit of a sense of what this is all about. This is what the vision statement says. By the way, let me share with you the IT tools that are associated with this right now. So I know nothing about blogs and very little about Facebook or Twitter, and maybe you don't subscribe to that, and that's fine. I'm a rookie at best. Fortunately, some of the folks that I've since talked to about this vision have given me people that know about these things that have helped me build some of these tools. Praise God, because the first time I tried to create a Twitter site for this, it took me about 4 hours and much frustration in my house. So the IT tools are this. PrayAtLunch.us. That's the website. PrayAtLunch, all one word, .us. From there, if you want to, you can get to a Twitter site. You can get to the Facebook site. There's an icon on the icons on the upper right to get there. here's what those are going to provide. They provide the vision statement, the mission statement, and the goals. And they will also provide, as a minimum, a weekly devotion that will guide the prayer during the course of that week. You, of course, can pray for our nation without those helps. I certainly would be thrilled if people did so, whether they came to the website or not. I frankly don't care, but I will post some items on there that maybe will encourage, that will share the testimony that I'm sharing with you today, maybe that will provide some verses, the first of which that I will post today will be 2 Chronicles 7:14, and some thoughts associated with that, that will help people maybe on a regular basis get some reminders. Go there or not, pray at lunch.us, that's up to you. What I'm far more concerned about is that people would actually pray on a regular basis. And so the vision statement says this: Americans united by a humble spirit that uplifts the Lord to his rightful preeminence in all the affairs of our nation. You know, there's a lot of people that make God or their gods prominent in their lives, but God doesn't just deserve to be prominent, he deserves to be preeminent. And so the vision statement helps us remember that, just like David said about not trusting in chariots and not trusting in horses, but remembering the name of the Lord our God as the preeminent force that has up to this point blessed our nation far more than we deserve, and that is our only hope to return to where we need to be. By the way, throughout the course of this, and you'll see in some of the statements that are on that website already, I specifically and intentionally in the last nearly 3 months have not prayed for God's blessings on our country because, frankly, I don't think that we deserve them. I pray more that God will change us so that we will deserve his blessings. And I think that is an important differentiation, because if God, just like our kids, if you reward bad behavior, then you continue to get bad behavior. And if God blesses us and maybe he has far more than we deserve, then maybe we are just encouraged in our ways that are ungodly and not getting back to a God that is unchanging, that is indeed the same yesterday and today and forever. So that's the vision statement. The mission is this: spur a nationwide, I know that's ambitious, upswell of daily local fervent prayer for the United States by Bible-believing Christians. A regular, daily, fervent upswell of prayer on a local basis. These meetings, unlike 1857, aren't meetings where necessarily I'm going to stand up if people start joining me in prayer and lead a prayer meeting, but I will be there praying, and if people want to join me, I would love that. And I hope in your workplace, your neighborhood, in your home, wherever it may be, that you would do the same thing. And this is the goal: regular prayer to change our national spirit so that the Lord can change our national direction. All of this is about word of mouth. You're not going to see a national ad about this other than what you see on the websites. It's something the Lord has laid on my heart, and it's either going to be a great success or a great failure. And frankly, I would love it to be a great success, but faithfully following the Lord's direction, regardless of the outcome, is something that I feel compelled to do. And obviously, as tomorrow comes, and the next week, and the following month, and the following year, it would be great if this continued, and indeed there was an upswell of national support for an idea like this. But even if this local body of believers took it upon them to be the right type of Christians in this respect, and the right type of citizens who love our country so much that they make a point to pray regularly for our country in this way, then that would be absolutely just fine with me. 2 Corinthians 5:3 reminds us not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. Our individual sufficiency is of God. Our national sufficiency is of God. And if we have anything that we are blessed by in our lives and in our national life, it comes from God. And I think it was Brother Aaron in Sunday school a few weeks ago that gave a quote by D.L. Moody that said something along the lines of, we can stand adversity far more than we can prosperity, because in prosperity we forget God. And I think as a nation in prosperity, we have forgotten God. We have relied on sufficiency of a variety of other means other than the Lord's preeminence in our lives. And let me close, if I could, with another illustration about where I think we have gone as a country. Matt probably knows this as a guy that flies. I assume that they do this in AFSOC. But the last time you fly an airplane in a squadron before you move to another squadron, you have what is called a finny flight. I assume you've got a finny flight. And those particular flights is your last flight in your particular squadron are grand events. You try to plan something that's extra fun, that you're getting training value out of it. You maybe get to do some things that you don't normally get to do, and with the airplane that you've loved for the last 3 years that you've flown in. My first Finney flight in the F-22, not knowing that I was coming back for a subsequent tour, was on a particular test mission that had some things hanging on the outside of the jet that normally wouldn't be there. And those things limited what I was going to be able to do on that particular day. This world's most capable aircraft was limited to a subset of the envelope of how fast you could do and how fast you could go and how hard you could maneuver. All of it was limited on that particular day. And my boss at the time, my squadron commander, came to me and said, "This is probably not the best Finney flight. This could be your last flight ever in this amazing aircraft. And it's possible that if it is indeed your last flight, that you will not be able to do things that you would want to do on your last flight in such a capable machine." And I said, "You know what, boss, I appreciate that that idea on your part. I want to do it because it's a particular test that's interesting. Now, let me give you a sense of how limited I am. This aircraft, the F-22 Raptor, can go maybe on the order of somewhere around 950 miles an hour. That's the fastest published unclassified speed. That's fast. It's about 15 miles a minute. That's fast, right? A mile, 4 seconds later, a mile, you're hauling. And on this particular day, in this particular aircraft, we couldn't go maybe more than 300 miles an hour. That's pretty small compared to 900. You can't go very fast on this day. And not only that, but typically you can maneuver such that you can pull 9 times your body weight. That's 9 G's. That's a lot of maneuvering. You can turn on a dime. And that aircraft does amazing things. But on that day, you couldn't pull more G's than your average airliner out there. Maybe 2, maybe up to 3. Those were the limits. So I go out flying in the world's most capable aircraft, designed to do things that will boggle your mind, and I'm limited by those rules. In fact, I had an air refueling aircraft, one of those big, fat, slow aircraft, flying with me that day, and at one point I had to ask him to slow down so I could catch up. I'm in the world's most capable aircraft, and I'm asking the slow guy to slow down for me. That aircraft is designed from its inception to do amazing things, but on that day, because of the things we put upon it, was limited drastically. And I fear that our country is like that aircraft on that day. We were designed from our inception to do amazing things, and we did for God for 150 years plus, where we did great things for God in the blueprint that God, through the Constitution, laid for our country. And I fear that we've piled a bunch of other things onto it, such that as the world has moved away from God, we as Christians have followed, sometimes keeping the same distance between the world and us, sometimes even trying to close that gap. But if this is God's standard, and this is where the world was, and it moves this way, we should never move away from here. But we have. And we've piled a bunch of things onto our country, and as Christians, we are the ones that are responsible, going back to 2 Chronicles 7:14, for the state that we're in, because we have not humbled ourselves as we have should, we have not sought the Lord as we should, we have not prayed as we have should, and we have not turned away from our sins. And so we should not be surprised. The result is a nation that has deviated and drifted far away from God. A nation that was designed to do amazing things, but because of the limits that, frankly, I have placed upon her as a Christian who has failed to pray on a regular basis, it's nowhere close to what our nation should be. And so I would encourage you maybe to consider Esther 4:14, the second part. Who knoweth whether thou art called for the kingdom for such a time as this? Whether thou would consider whether indeed you need to spend more time, like I realized I did, praying specifically for our country, in the case of PLUS, prayer at lunchtime for the United States, at lunch. But regardless of when it is, making a dedicated time to pray for our nation. It's easy to complain. It's easy to be concerned or anxious about where we have gotten. But frankly, the responsibility is on us, because we collectively as Christians have allowed it to get there. And if we are going to return it to where it was intended to be, then we need to uphold our citizenship and Christian responsibilities to do what God would have us to do through humility and through prayer and through right living to bring our country back. And whether that means a 10 to 20 minute sacrifice at lunch, I've found the time to do it, and I would imagine that you have too. I came to that conclusion, obviously, because I realized that, yeah, I could get a lot done at 20 minutes during lunch because I don't typically take lunch. but it couldn't do what our country needed us to do. It relied on my sufficiency, not God's sufficiency. It relied on fancy metal out on the ramp at Eglin Air Force Base instead of relying on the Lord to be the source of our strength and the source of our security. And so, Pastor, I appreciate you allowing me to take some time to share this burden. The official kickoff, as I said, is tomorrow, the blog I've given you. Regardless of whether you start tomorrow or you start today or you start next week, regardless of whether you use the website and the regular prayer tools that will be provided therein or not, that doesn't matter as much as us being the citizens and the Christian citizens that God would intend us to be to truly heal our land, because that's what we need. Let's pray. Lord God, I thank you so much for the blessing of being able to share this testimony. I thank you, Lord, for our pastor allowing me to do so. I thank you, Lord, for this burden that you've laid upon my heart, Lord, and I thank you that you've enabled me to get to this point where the kickoff is tomorrow. And Lord, we ask your forgiveness for being the wrong type of Christian citizens for these many years. I ask for your forgiveness in that. And I ask, Lord, that going forward, you would allow me and many others to sense that we need to place you in the rightful, preeminent part in our lives and in our nation's well-being and security as well. Please bless the rest of this day, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.